I think that's all the announcements that I've got for now. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. And just hold on a little longer, because help's on the way. We look at Israel, and that should be our timeline and our clock as we look at the events of God as things are going there and being carried out. And it's good to see all these kids in church. And if y'all want to go to children's church, ages 4 to 8, please make your way that way. Be glad to have you. Just remember that always. And as we think about needing a little help, we need some help. We need to pray for Israel, for God to help them as they are there to take back the land that is rightfully theirs to begin with. Because God gave it to them a long time ago by the promise that He made unto Abraham. Also, some of the land there that's in Egypt and Iraq and Jordan and all those places over there is Israel's land that God promised them many years ago. They will never be peace until they occupy all of what God has given them as their land. The little place that they've got now is just a small part of what God has intended for them. So we need to be much in prayer, because as our message today is going to be on spirits and obedient spirits and disobedient spirits, we need to be much in prayer, because there's a lot of disobedient spirits that are wanting to come against God's people, whether it is Israel over there in the Middle East or whether it is us here at home in the United States. There are spirits that war against us, and we need to have our faith in Jesus. We need to look to Him for the author and the finisher of our faith, and trust Him in all things that we do, and have obedient spirits unto Him, that we follow Him, that we can be blessed, and that we can have His protection around us and about us as we see the things unfolding. They were praising the iron umbrella or iron thing that they call, well, it's about the same thing as our Patriot missile system that Israel has in place there to shoot down the missiles that are coming in from the Gaza Strip as Hamas is sending them in there, and how good a job it's done. But every once in a while, it don't have time to react and be able to take those missiles out, especially if they're short range, and we see the deaths that have occurred. But I'm glad that Jesus hand is not shortened. I'm glad that Jesus is right on time. I'm glad that everything as it unfolds is just as Jesus has told John there on the Isle of Patmos, as God revealed it to John there to reveal to us the things that are happening there that we see unfolding. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. But God has given us His precious book. In different places it talks about His coming and Him taking His children home, and then His coming whenever everyone will see Him as the great King and Lord of Lords. Let me tell you, I'm glad that I'm going to be coming back with Him at that point in time, riding in His army behind Him. But I ain't going to have to lift a hand to be able to help Him, because He's got it all under control. But I thank God this morning that there's some spirits, and we need to be obedient spirits to God. We need to follow after Him, and we need to listen to Him, and we need to listen to His Word. And as time grows near, we need to know more of His Word that we can tell others to get them prepared for the end that is near. It's imminent. That means it's on hand. That means it could happen any time. We don't know what time it's going to be. Jesus said not even the angels in heaven knew when it was going to be. I'll get to the message here in a minute, but He said it ain't even the angels in heaven. Only His Father knew when the time would come. But I'm thankful that God knows, and there's a place on that clock, and it's going to tick, and He's going to say, "That's enough. I'm done," and they're done, and they're coming home to be with us. And He's going to tell Him to go get His children and bring them home to be with Him. And I'm thankful this morning for that. I'm thankful as we celebrate this Thanksgiving week that we've got so much to be thankful for, as we were talking about in the song. As we kneel down, do we ever just stop and take that time to kneel down and pray and thank Him for the things that we see going on around us, and see the answered prayers and the different things? Oh, when big things happen, we'll take time. But do you thank Him for the small things? Do you ever thank Him for a cup of water? Do you ever take time just to thank Him for that biscuit maybe you eat this morning? I know you may have prayed over it and asked God to bless it to the nourishment of your body and your body to His service. But do you ever just stop and thank Him for that biscuit? Because you know it could be a whole lot different situation. It could be like some of these other countries that don't have what they have, because they are not Christian nations, because they're not dependent upon God. But let me tell you, if we keep on going, we could see the same thing happening in our landing country today. Now we're going to get into the Word of God. In chapter 4 and verse 1 it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, Arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Let me tell you, as a child of God, when we have died off to the flesh, when we have trusted in Christ, that means that we're supposed to cease from the sin, that we're supposed to try the very dead level best that we can do, not to commit those sins willfully. We're in this flesh that we live in, we're going to commit sin, but you're not supposed to go out here and willfully do it. If God says it's wrong, it's in His Word. For a child of God, if we do it, it becomes a sin into us, whether we think it is or not, because the Word of God says some things are right, some things are wrong, and He said it. We need to, if we are a child of His, that we need to cease from sin. Now, let me tell you, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but the wages of sin is death. I want to tell you something, there's nothing more pitiful than a Christian that starts out on a strong experience with God, that's on fire for God, to get back out into the world and to commit a sin and lose their testimony of what God has been able to do for them and how pitiful they seem to be. But let me tell you, God will still bless you if you'll come back to Him. He said to cease from the sin, and when He tells us to repent of that sin, leave it alone and walk in a different direction and don't pick that sin up again. Kids, it's your privilege to be able to learn from the Word of God the things at a younger age than maybe some of us as adults have been able to learn, because you're in the house of God this morning and you're being taught the Word of God, whether it's in Sunday school or whether it's the preaching hour, but God wants you to cease from sin. I encourage you to keep yourself spotless from this world, not to commit those sins. When the peer pressures of life come against you, just be able to stand up and say no. Find you a Christian friend that will help back you up, or find you a Christian teacher if it's at school and ask them to help you, to pray for you, and to give you guidance, or go to mom and dad and don't be afraid to talk to them about these things, because that's the ones that you need to be talking to at home, about to mom and daddy about things that's going on, or grandma and grandpa, or whoever can lead you spiritually in the ways that you need to go so you can cease from the sin. Too many people today are abounding in sin. They're welcoming more and more, and it starts out in little things. And the more little things they do, then it becomes bigger things and bigger things, until one day they're sitting in a jail cell wondering how in the world they got there. It's because of sin, and it keeps dragging you down. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Woo, boy, right there gets us all. The lust of the flesh. When it's breakfast time, what do? We eat, because we get hungry. A lot of times we overeat. Sandra started just fixing 6 biscuits of a morning, because she knows if there's more than 6, I'll eat more. So I get my 2, she gets her 2, and Justin gets his 2. That's my diet plan. She don't fix no more, because if they're there, I'll eat them. Except when we have mom and daddy's in on Sunday morning, she cook about 20-something. Boy, I could go to town, but I know we got to take them out there. But anyway, we have to do those things in moderation. But we live after the lust of the flesh. But I tell you one thing, as a diabetic, I don't know what it is, but I can see candy, and it's like it's a screaming my name, and I've got to have it. That's the lust of the flesh. I reckon because I know I ain't supposed to have it, makes me want it that much more. But we're not to live after the lust of the flesh as men do. We're to live after the will of God. Now let me tell you, the older I get, the more I realize these things. So I'm trying to help you before you get to that point, that you understand it at an earlier age, some of you kids and stuff that's in here this morning, to live after the will of God. And to find the will of God, you got to study His Word. Be in Sunday school, be in church, be in Wednesday night service, be in vacation Bible school. To be involved in church, to be involved with your Christian friends. It's important. It's important to have a good network of friends, the good friends. For the time past of your life, many suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Now let me tell you, the will of the Gentiles is not the will of God. The will of men is not the will of God. When we walked in the lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein They think it strange that we run not with them in the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. Let me tell you, you're supposed to keep yourself separated, a different people, a peculiar people, set apart. And if the world can't tell the difference between you and the lost and the sinful people of the world, then you don't have much of a witness. If you don't separate yourselves from those times, if you don't separate yourself and be a different person, walking after the will of God, you're going to have people confused. And as people have said this week, God is not the author of confusion. It's hard to be a fountain to spit forth both sweet and bitter water. You can't do that. And your witness of your life will prove that, what you are and who you're following. And they'll think it's strange that you don't go along with them. If you make a stand and you stand upon what God has told you to do, they'll think you're strange. They thought I was strange before I started. They'll think I'm strange after I'm long and gone. But I thank God I'll leave an impression on them some way. And I pray they remember just a little bit about what Jesus has said to them. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Do you think you're going to stand there and plead your cause in your case before God? You think you're going to be eloquent enough that you're going to stand there and be able to be silver-tongued enough to get yourself out of the trouble that you're in when you're standing before for the judgment? No. That's why God sent Jesus. To be our advocate, to plead our cause, to please our case before God. Not that he would be a slick-talking person, but he can say, I died for. Listen to a song last night by the Easter Brothers. The title of it was, I Pled Guilty, and He Gave Me Life. I pled guilty, and He gave me life. Standing before Him with the death sentence already passed, and He pardoned me. Now that's a great God that we serve. He pleaded my case. He signed my pardon. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Sober and watch unto prayer. We need to be watching as we're praying for the Lord's return. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Don't we get more charitable at Thanksgiving and Christmas? We got to do something nice. You know, we got to go find somebody that's in need, and we got to help them just because it's Thanksgiving. We need to do that. It's Christmas. What happened to the other 10 months? They're still in need. Now, a lot of it is need because they are living after the lust of men. But there are some people that are in true need that are doing the very best they can and still struggling. And we need to help those. As we give aid to people, it becomes their responsibility to do with it what is right. And if God impresses on your heart, don't worry about what they're going to use it for. If God says do something, you do it. You'll be blessed. And He'll deal with them whether they use it right or wrong. But be blessed of God. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You ever seen anybody give something when they didn't want to? Kind of funny. They kind of hold on to it. Here, you can have it. Go ahead, take it. Well, they give it and they got the awfully frown. Lord of mercy, I didn't do that. Everybody's looking at me. If you're doing it because your neighbor's watching, you're not doing it for the right reason. Might as well not do it to start with. He told us not to do our alms before men. Not to let the left hand or right hand know what the left hand's doing. God's impressing upon your heart, you do it not grudgingly. Not say, I don't want to do that, Lord. What if He had said the same to you? I don't want to save you. You're not worthy. You're not worthy of my presence. You ever act like that towards somebody? Huh? You got holes in their blue jeans, or maybe they're a little dirty. Maybe they're a little smelly. Whew. Boy, they ain't worthy to be in my presence. They're not worthy to be in my presence. I thank God I wasn't worthy to be in His presence. But He came to where I was at and saved me. And every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, if we do something and people remember us for what we do, we've not accomplished what Jesus wants us to do. When we help others by being obedient to God and by having charity, if they remember us for what we've done, then they're not seeing Jesus. I would much rather remember the love that God has put in our hearts to be able to provide assistance and help, a shoulder to cry on, someone to laugh with, that is the love that God has given us for other people. Like I said before, the greatest thing that you can give someone is yourself. Is yourself a little time to share with this world that is lost and dying, that is in need of the most precious thing, love. Love. Oh, and people making preparation for Black Friday. Oh, we got the sales ads, and we got this, and they got that. And you can start early. They're going to start at midnight, Thanksgiving night. Some of them even going to be open Thanksgiving Day just to be the first one to get to sell something, be the first one to get to buy something. I tell you one thing. You ever been to Walmart on Black Friday and got run over by one of them little ladies in them buggies? It'll make you stay away from there. It gave me a phobia of even being in there with them. But we have got so commercially minded, and what we've got to do to make others like us, trying to impress them, we forget what charity truly is. Giving of yourself. Do you remember a time when maybe you got oranges and candy and a small present, and you was just as happy as if you got the world? Probably more happy because there was love there. Not, oh, what else have you got for me? Oh, you didn't get the batteries for this. Oh, it's the wrong color. Instead of being thankful. Have we treated Jesus the same way? Well, I'm saved, but I just ain't enjoying it much because he's requiring too much of me. Going to church twice a week is just getting to be too much. Getting to be too much. Don't expect me to be there 3 hours of church in a week. That's too much. But he hung on the cross for over 6 hours as the darkness covered the earth. I don't think it's too much. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange things happen unto you. Listen, trials of this life are going to come. And they're going to try to get you down. But like the song says, just keep your eyes toward the heavens, because help is on the way. You're not going to go through anything that God's not going to help you through. If he brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But don't think it's a strange thing when we go through trials of this life, because that is, we're no better than he was. He will face trials, persecution, mockery. We're no better than to go through the same things. The difference is that we have a Savior that's already been there. He knows. He has the same feelings, the same hurts that you will have, he's already had. And to a deeper extent than we could ever imagine. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Can you? We get excited. They was getting excited last week at the race, if any of you seen it. One of them gets her tire cut down, and boy, they had them a melee. They got excited. They got excited. They liable to get excited again today. When that thing starts, people are going to stand up, woo! And when it ends, they're going to be standing there. Some of them be standing there by the end of it. Some of them won't be able to stand. But they're going to be hollering for their driver and they're excited. When we see that sale paper, some of you, if you ain't been in Gander Mountain yet, you're liable to holler when you go in there. Boy, that thing's big. They got all kinds of stuff. If you like outdoor stuff, it's big. You might get excited. Especially if you see some of the prices, you might get excited. We need to get excited about Jesus. We need to get excited in His house. We need to have exceeding great joy. Some of you get a speeding ticket, you might have some excitement. It might not be great excitement. You see that ticket, but you might have some excitement going on. But we should have exceeding joy in serving God. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of your suffering as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, right yonder cuts half of America. A busybody in somebody else's matters. Everybody can see everybody else's problem, but can't see their own. It even talks about it in God's Word. Let's don't suffer as being a busybody. We need to take care of home first and ask God to help our neighbors to take care of theirs. And if everybody takes care of their own, everybody get along a lot better. A lot better. Be concerned for one another, but don't be a busybody in other people's business. Ask God to help them. Ask God to help you. But don't suffer. Don't suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Glorify God. If you suffer because you are a Christian, give God the glory. Thank God there's enough in your life that you've been proved guilty of being a Christian. Boy, if we had a trial on some people today, we couldn't prove it. We'd have to call in forensics. And boy, they're good at that stuff now. I don't know if we find enough DNA to prove somebody's a child of God sometimes. If we went on the way that we live our lives. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Those of us that know to do right and don't, it becomes a sin to us. If we're scarcely saved, let me tell you, I thank God that once He completed it, it was complete. But I don't want to use it for a crutch that once I'm forgiven, I'm always forgiven, and I can do everything I want to do when I want to do it. Because that's not giving glory to God. And I don't want to cause someone to stumble and fall into hell because of my life before them. I want to be an obedient one. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Now, He's a faithful Creator, folks. He is more faithful to us than we are to Him. Every morning He makes the sun to rise. Every evening He makes it to set. He brings the rain on the just and the unjust. He blesses us with health when we're not worthy of having it. He brings us out of sickness when we're not worthy of Him answering the prayers. He walks with us daily, though where we're walking is not a place that He needs to be going, because you don't need to be either. But still yet, He never leaves us nor never forsakes us, because He's a faithful Creator. And He wants you to walk faithful with Him. He wants you to be a faithful child, to be obedient. Blessed are we for being obedient to God. For just listening to Him in the small things and the little things, that we take time to listen to God. Now, where is our life and where is it lining up with God? As we think about Thanksgiving this week and being thankful, have we been doing our charity with a fervent heart, ungrudgingly, that we do it, that we help? How are we living before Him? Are we suffering as murderers and evildoers? Are we walking in the lust of men and lasciviousness and greed and all these other things? Are we walking with an humble spirit before a just God, asking Him to direct our paths? Are we being charitable to those not expecting in return something in payment for what we've done? That's marks of being a good Christian. When the going gets tough because you're a Christian and people know that you are, count it joy. Count it joy. But just keep on standing when nothing else can be done. Just stand. Stand upon His Word. Be obedient unto it. Don't do it because the preacher said you need to. Do it because God said you need to. He gave us His book that we can know. That we can know. As the writer said, as Paul said many times, brethren, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant. That wasn't a statement that he was calling them anything derogatory, but he wanted them to be learned. He wanted them to be taught the Word of God. He wanted them to be educated in the grace of God. Today, we need to be the ones that are letting grace abound in our life that others may be able to see the grace of God. And we can only do that by following Him closely in this Word. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never surrendered to Him. I can't think of a better time than today. Yeah. Satan's going to tell you, oh, there's a better time. You just hold on. You just wait. Like the song said, you hold on just a little longer. Hold on to that bench just a little longer. Don't go up there. Don't surrender to that man, Jesus. You're going to give up everything that you've ever enjoyed. Well, friend, you ain't going to give up nothing. Thank God God's going to be able to remove those things and give you some new things to hold on to give you some things. And then you can sing the song, just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. He's on the way, but you've got to ask Him to come. He's there waiting. He made the way a long time ago on the cross of Calvary that you could be saved and have life. You stand before Him guilty. If you plead guilty, He'll give you life like you've never known. He won't pass a death sentence on you, but He'll give you life in heaven. But you've got to ask Him to come in. As they come, get a song ready this morning, or they play a soundtrack for us this morning. As we stand to our feet, if you're here and you're lost, please, please, don't do it for me, but do it because God loves you, and He wants you to be saved this morning. If you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again, says thou shalt be saved. Will you trust Him this morning? Christians bow and praying across the congregation this morning. Would there be one here that would recognize that you're lost? You've got to be lost before you can be found. Would you just lift that hand and say, preacher, I'm lost, and I need to be saved this morning. And I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me, preacher. There'd be one anywhere. God's dealing with your heart. Right now's the time. Right now's the time. You know in your heart whether you've met Jesus. Did you go to an altar one time and have a cry? That's not salvation. Did you go to an altar and you bow down before God and ask Him to come into your life and save you, and you know that He come into your life and forgave you of your sin and come into your heart and saved you and set you apart? If that's what salvation is, when Jesus moves in, not just crying and feeling better, not having an emotional response to God, having a life-changing experience with God, that's what salvation is. Friend, are you here this morning and you don't know Him? Are you lost? We're not going to tarry any longer, but I want you to have ample opportunity to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Maybe we're here this morning. Some of the things that we've talked about this today, maybe we've been walking after the lust of the flesh. We all make mistakes. I'm going to tell you, there ain't one of us in here that's not guilty of it at some point in time. What the bad thing is, if we stay that way, God will forgive you, whatever it may be. I'm just going to ask you to come to the altar, whatever it might be. Whether you got someone that's sick, you got someone that's lost, you got something you just need to bring to God and get worked out, this altar's open. It becomes your responsibility to do something with it. I've gone with you as far as I can go. I can pray for you, but I'd rather pray with you if you come to the altar. But you bring your burdens. you bring your cares, that you bring your needs, your wants, your desires to God. Will you step out and come? Will you step out and come? As it continues to play, as some is stepping out and coming forward, please come. Don't think that there's not enough time. There's always time. There's always time to do business with God. Please come. Please come. Whatever your needs, whatever your troubles, whatever your worries, whatever your thanksgiving is, there's time to give it to God. Do you have just a thankful heart this morning? Just come bow and give Him thanks. We're going to pray shortly. Will you come? Will you come? You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and hearts before You this morning, God, we just thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, we pray that You'd help us to walk after the will of God and not the will of the flesh. Dear Heavenly Father, there's so many things that are put out here before our young people. And God, we pray that they have good, strong foundations, good, strong parents, grandparents, dear Heavenly Father, friends, to help make the right decisions, dear God, that they can go to, dear God, for guidance. Dear God, we know that they can go to You. We pray that You give them help along the way. Someone that's been there, dear Heavenly Father, that can share with them the experiences, dear God, that You've walked with them through. God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for watching over and blessing us to be back in Your house once again. God, we're so unworthy to be able to stand in this pulpit to preach Your word. God, You are worthy. The one that is worthy to be praised. The one that is worthy to be lifted above all others. And God, we know that You suffered because Your Son suffered as He walked that hill that morning and went to the cross of Calvary, that You had to turn Your back upon Him as He took on the sins of a world, dear Heavenly Father, that would reject Him. But dear God, for those of us, dear Heavenly Father, that would see Him as a Savior, that He came to die for us. And for those, dear God, that continue to reject Him, He gives them the same opportunity for salvation. Lord, we pray that You would watch over, protect our men and women in the armed services. That, dear God, with the things that are going on over in Israel, dear God, that are so imminent, looking like some excursions going on there, dear God, military maybe moving in different things, dear God, as they go through their skirmish, Lord, that You will watch over and protect, dear God, and that You will watch Your children. Dear Heavenly Father, put a hedge of protection around them, dear God, and lead them and guide them in the right things to do. Dear God, keep the other countries from being, as it was in Your word, busybodies. And dear Heavenly Father, bless them as Your people. Bless us continually as Your people, that we will honor and praise You and lift You up on high. God, we thank You that You have given us so much. Lord, You have answered so many prayers. We see them sitting here in the congregation this morning, so many answered prayers. God, we thank You. Lord, we ask that You just continue to answer the prayers of Your people. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that it won't be long till You call us home. As we see Your word being fulfilled, dear Heavenly Father, whether it's by the way of the grave or whether it's by the rapture of the church, God, it will soon be going home. God, we thank You that You have made it assured that it is more real today than it's ever been, how close it is at hand. And God, we just thank You that we're ready. Ready to meet You. And God, we pray that others will make that surrender to You and be making preparation to be ready to meet You as well. God, we thank You for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy for this day that You have given us. Bless everyone, dear God, that's here this morning. Every household, dear God, that's represented. And dear Heavenly Father, we give You honor and praise and glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.